It is time for Kent Neitzert in the Garden, brought to you by Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist. That four-letter word inched into our forecast this week, and inched into actually to what we looked outside yesterday. There was spitting some snow showers, and a little bit this morning here too.
Yeah, as I walked in, I was dodging some little pieces of snow hitting me in the face.
There you go. Now, for folks,
lightly on my complexion.
Yeah. Yeah, it matched your hair.
Yes.
There you go. For those who suffer...
That sparse?
Yeah, from allergies, they're probably loving this, that the temperatures are turning to freezing.
Yeah, that's one plus about it, I guess. There's not a lot of others that I can think of off the top of my head, but a lot of people like that time of year as well. A lot of things to do, so, you know, it's one of the things that I guess I enjoy about Michigan is that you just got all kinds of different seasons to work with. It's just, if it wouldn't get so cold to do it, it'd be neat if we snowed about 68 degrees. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
They actually have those indoor ski slopes over in the Middle East,
yeah,
Dubai and places. They've actually built those,
so
artificially, so you can wear shorts and ski at the same time. So,
yeah,
not too much over here. Well, as the season starts to wind down, only a couple of more shows for you yet this year. We want to talk about something that we're not talking about government waste.
Yeah.
Or bribes.
Yeah, we're talking about graft. But
a different kind of grafting.
Yeah. Grafting is a process where you attach a part of one plant to a part of another, and usually we're referring to it with woody plants such as trees and shrubs. The key to grafting is you match the cambium layers of the two parts of the plant, and the cambium layer is that layer of the plant where the new cells are being formed, and those new cells are undifferentiated cells. They really have... I guess they're kind of like me. They have no particular goal in life yet. And so they become whatever the plant needs, whether it's roots, stems, leaves, whatever particular tissue is needed there.
Okay.
And when you match those two up, they fuse together, and we get a single strong plant to grow. And the reason we do that is to clone a particular plant that we like. For example, the blue spruces, most of those are grafted because that powdery blue color is not always available when you grow them from seed. With fruit trees, it's often done to control their growth. A Jonathan tree or a Red Delicious is grafted onto a particular rootstock that causes it to throttle its growth down and make a dwarf or a semi-dwarf tree. Sometimes we graft plants on top that have no particular... They don't have the ability to grow up straight, so they weep, and we graft them on a standard and allow them to fall over, and we make things like the weeping cherry trees that are you see around. One of the problems you have to be careful of with grafting is that sometimes the graft fails and the plant will start to grow from below the graft, or even if the graft still stays hardy, the plant starts to grow from below that graft. In many cases, especially with the weeping cherry, that portion below the graft is much more vigorous growing than the part on top. And if we don't get that pruned out, it will overgrow the weeping portion, and it'll either disappear because you won't see it, or sometimes even kill it out. But relatively new to the grafting process are vegetables. And we first saw this in tomatoes in commercial production. They were grafting particular varieties of tomatoes that produced a good-tasting, high-producing plant of some sort onto a rootstock that was much more vigorous root, and do that to increase both the health of the plant. They're more disease resistant. We lost in the commercial industry a chemical called methyl bromide, which was attacked in the ozone, and it was used to sterilize soils and fields and beds to eliminate weeds and diseases. And when we lost the availability of that, they had to go looking elsewhere. And so they've got to the point where they're taking healthy rootstock that's our disease resistant and much more vigorous roots, and we're grafting those tomatoes on top of it. And that seems like a lot of work to go to, but it seems to be catching on. And one of the things they're doing now is grafting some of the heirloom tomatoes, Brandywine and some of the purple Cherokee some of the older varieties onto this rootstock. And the results are that we're getting 50 to 200% increase in production of fruit, much more vigorous plants. Plants will be half again to twice the size of the parent plant that used to be. And they're very disease tolerant and disease resistant. So we're going to be growing a variety of tomato in the spring that's grafted. And we're going to see what our customers and what we think about it when it gets around.
Now, those plants then, when you get the fruit off them, can you use the seeds from that then to have another plant next year that you don't have to graft that still has the same qualities?
No, because you're back to the plant that grows on top is the whatever the plant was.
It's not picking up the qualities of the other.
No, it has to be grafted. It maintains its flavor, its color. In general, it does. Now, there's been some research done. They're grafting things like watermelons and peppers and cucumbers and cantaloupe, other melons. Those are the ones that I can remember. And they're finding that in the melons, you lose some of the flavor is changed in the grafting process. With the tomatoes, for example, though, there seems to be no change in the taste. So if you liked, for example, the taste of Brandywine tomatoes, which is an old-fashioned heirloom tomato, but not a real vigorous, healthy plant, you get the grafted variety, and it tastes exactly the same, and it looks the same. The tomato genetically looks exactly the same. It's just being pushed by a different engine out of the root system, so it's a much more vigorous plant, much more healthy and disease resistant. So it has a root system that's maybe twice as big as the original plant would have had.
Questions for Kent, 279-1590. That's the number, 279-1590. For Kent Neitzert, in the garden this morning, brought to you by Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist.
When you have an occasion to buy flowers, does where you shop make a difference? Well, if knowledgeable sales personnel, quality of product, and value for the dollars you spend are important to you, then it's important you make Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist your florist. Whatever the occasion, wherever you need to send flowers, call Neitzert's at 278-4148 and let them take care of your order. They'll handle your needs with a personal and professional touch and stand behind the work to your satisfaction. Call Neitzert's today or stop out on Fisk Road, 1.5 mile south of US 12, and see if you don't agree that there is a difference, and the difference is Neitzert's.
We're about 2 minutes in front of 8 o'clock now at AM 1590 at FM 95.5 WTBB. Let's head to the phone lines for questions for Kent Neitzert. Hi, go ahead with your question.
Hi.
Good morning.
I've got a question about when do you trim back rows of Sharon bushes and how much?
Well, I would wait just a little bit yet. We don't want to trim. What happens when you trim is you encourage new growth to start to be produced on the portion that wasn't trimmed off. And so I don't want that new growth to start yet this fall because it will freeze off, it won't harden off. So we're going to wait at least another month or so until the plants go completely dormant. And then you can trim them back as far as you like, pretty much. You want to generally like to trim to just above where you see a bud on the side of the stem, because that's where the new sprout will come out. And you can wait if you want until next spring, until the plant starts to sprout off and you see those little green buds growing out there, and prune it off at that time. Because rows of Sharon flower late in the summer. They flower on next year's new growth. There are no flower buds set on it yet this year. Things that flower early in the spring, like lilacs and forsythia, those flower buds are already set on the stems, and if you try to do pruning this fall or early spring, which doesn't really hurt the plant, but it cuts off a lot of the flowers. So that Rose of Sharon you can prune anytime, probably from the 1st of December through middle of April.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right, good luck with it. Next couple of weeks here, as the frost is starting to come in, and who knows, maybe snow. Just a couple quick things that people should be thinking about here.
Well, I like to try and clean up the gardens. I get the extra weeds out of them. There's many gardens have nothing left in them that's being harvested, and they get neglected, and the weeds start taking over, and those weeds tend to. There are some that stay green all winter long and start growing very early in the spring and take over. So if we can get those under control a little bit, you can apply You can apply a Roundup spray to it right now and kill some of those weeds down and open it and get that ground ready. Maybe you can find some, when you're raking the leaves, if you mulch those up good, you can put them on your garden and increase the organic matter of your garden a little bit more. Those kind of things. And also remember, we want to put our lawn to bed this year, the last mowing of the year. You like to try and drop the mower deck maybe a half an inch so it's mowed a little tighter to the ground. It doesn't hurt it because it's going dormant anyway. Plus, it keeps that grass from growing up tall enough and then being mashed over by the snow. If you lay that over on the ground, sometimes you get what's called snow mold, which is they just kind of mats there and kills itself out. So you have some spots that in the spring of the year won't be growing as well. So those are the couple of things you can do in this fall to get ready. If you've got some trees you want to plant, it's still a good time in the fall of the year to plant some of those deciduous trees and shrubs and get them in the ground, get them going.
All right, great. And we'll talk next week.
Yes, sir.
During the week, you can catch him at the greenhouse, 1.5 miles south of US 12 on Fisk Road, on the web at nightshirtsgreenhouse.com, 278-4148, or here on Thursday mornings for actually final show of the season. Next Thursday morning, it's Kent Neitzert in the garden.